And nosocomial infections is probably the most relevant adverse event for number and for the impact in the patients. And as you know, and as we have learned from other high-risk industry like aviation, in complex systems, the errors are likely to occur more than in other places, and there are few places on perhaps no other place as risky and as complex as ICU. So, we can understand that critical patients can acquire more easily infections, ICU acquired infections, but we have to see if we are in the. One of the things to improve is benchmarking, of course, and to compare if our rates are good or bad. And before the ECDC was constituted, when we were working in the Helix project, it was made a comparison between the 7 countries participating at this moment in the database of Helix. And we could see it was compared VIP and bacteriemia-related and catheter bacteriemia infection. And you could see that Spain was not bad at this moment for pneumonia, but if you look at the device adjust rate, they were very high rates, even more than 20 episodes per 1,000 days of ventilation. But when we look at the ICU acquired bloodstream infection, Spain was bad in all the pictures we can see. So to register infections is good and is necessary and is the first step to establish corrective measures, but only if we aim to improve care is relevant to do this, because to have numbers, just to have to know the numbers is not enough. We have to improve. So it was very good for us that in September 2006, at the same time that the European Congress of the European Society of Intensive Care was done in Barcelona, I was present as representative of the World Federation of Society of Intensive Care. I was in the Council at this moment, in this technical workshop that was promoted for the European Society, but also for the WHO, trying to find some areas where improvement for critical care patients was possible. And I was very shocked when Peter Pronovost, Chris Heschel, presented 3 months before that it was published in the New England, they study about how to near disappear bacteremia in all one state, Michigan, and very different ICUs, but successful in all of them. I think this is the more successful example of the Institute of Health Improvement proposal of the use of bundles to prevent infections. And as at this moment, in the Spanish Minister of Health, it was created the Agency of Patient Safety. We asked them for help to try to do something similar in Spain. I was speaking to Peter Pronovost. I told that we had a network of surveillance, and he told me that's the most important to do something, and that's an example for you. You have a good network, and you have a very important thing just done, and all the other things are easier. And as I tell you, in the Ministry of Health at this moment, it was not economical crisis that we have now, and they opposed for this project, and they they were doing some agreements with not only with professionals and with patients and consumers and with public and private organizations as universities or scientific societies. And designed a program to try to reproduce the prevention of bacteriemia like in Michigan was done. And the Ministry of Health had an agreement with our society, this SEMICIC, the Spanish Society of Intensive Care, with the WHO that had an agreement with Baltimore, with Peter Pronovost, and also with the health regions, because in Spain we have 70 political regions and many competences are transferred to this, and health is one of these transfer competences with some conditions, but in each region it is decided what is done. To implement a new and ambitious program, you need to have taken in account different points. And one is, which recommendation are you going to do? To do the guideline, but also an implementation program because and plan, because that's if you don't want to fail, that's very important. And it's very important how do you present this and how do you name, because there are many people that is reluctant to do new things. And it's very important to involve key stakeholders, and not always, and in our experience, as I will tell you later, management was not always behind the professionals and the ICU workers. You had to test your guideline or your program, because what is successful in one place perhaps is not successful in your area. And after this pilot, you had to refine the guideline and the implementation, and so we did. We did a pilot study in 2007 and three health regions with 17 ICU participating, half of them with the program and some half of them the control. We analyzed how it was and redefined the program, and we started the official national program in 2009, and it lasts officially 18 months, the same that was in Michigan and in the publication of New England. And the national organization, I think, was key, because that's important. We have the national organization, the Ministry of Health, that put the money and coordinate, but also in every health region department, we have the information, the engagement, but we have the commitment of the managers. We have a local leadership and the organization. And we have a health region coordinating team with an ICU physician, one ICU nurse, and the preventivists. And they were responsible to coordinate in all the ICUs of the health region, the implementation of the program. And in each ICU, again, we have a group, a team leader, responsible for the training, the implementation, the evaluation, and the improvement. And it had to be the executive. That was the most difficult, the physician and the nurse from the ICU, and someone from the infectious disease committee. The objective at this moment was try to reduce under 4 episodes of bacteriemia for 1,000 days, and that's were including the bacteriemias of unknown origin plus the bacteriemias of with the origin on the catheter, because as you know, because you are doing the same surveillance in the European, we separate the bacteriemia of the catheter from the secondary bacteriemias. But as we had to compare with the Americans include the bacteriemia in the with origin in the catheter and the unknown origin, and they don't take care about, they don't care about the secondary bacteriemia, sub-respiratory, etc. And the 4 episodes was 40% less than in the previous 5 years. So it was ambitious. But not only we wanted to reduce the bacteriemia, we also wanted to create through the health regions an ICU network that was able to apply effective safe practices and to promote the safety culture in the Spanish ICUs. And we adapted the original project, because there are a lot of difference between the American and the European practice and between the Anglo-Saxons and the Latin workers. And we try to adapt to the Spanish culture, that it has some difference even in Europe. The South and the North, we can be very, very different. But we keep the model To engage, educate, execute, and evaluate as the study implementation. And the program had two arms, one technical, the stop bacteriemia, that include all the points that were in the Americans, but we changed the avoid the femoral fold to promote subclavian. And we include, and that was the different practice in Spain, some measures to the maintenance of the catheter. Because in America they have many more ICU beds, they have less shorter length of stay in the ICU, so most of the effort had to be put just in the insertion, but not keeping the catheters, because the catheters they are not many days. But in our ICUs we have patients with more than 1 month in the ICU, and the catheters can be without changing if they are not infected, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and in fact we have the time after the admission to the ICU, the time of development of bacteriemia is around 14 or 16 days. And the most different and for us and the it was a challenge, was to implement the comprehensive safety plan. We didn't know near anything about the safety plan, and this includes to evaluate the safety culture, to educate on safety culture, to identify defects in clinical practice, to establish alliance with the executive board and learn from defects. And to engage, we show the rates of the infections. We had a consolidated surveillance from 1994 when we started, but the rates of the indicators were show very small reduction. And also, we try to show to all the workers the impact of the bacteriemias. And one example was the calculation of the American ones, but to us is to hide the impact of the mortality that they decide. We make our own calculations, and we, with the data of our network, we knew that around 1 million catheter days were every day, every year in the Spanish ICU, and we have around 5,000, 8,000 bacteriemias of the catheter each year. And our calculations say 9% of attributable mortality. That means that we had around 500 deaths every year in the Spanish ICUs because of the bacteriemia. We did this calculation again for the pneumonia. And that was much less than two events that happened in Spain these years. That was the fly accident in Barajas with 150 deaths, and the terrorist attack in Atocha with around 200 deaths. And we say, you see, everybody is so sorry for so many deaths, and there are less the two events together that the death we have every year because the bacteriemia in the ICU. And that was very, I think it was important for the people. We make education online, technical, but also in patient safety, because we had to approach the people to the patient safety. For the implementation, we have some tools like the checklist at insertion of the catheters, a model for daily goals, a model for learning from defects, and for the evaluation, and I think that was crucial, is crucial for us, we have on time, and on real time, the possibility to know how many bacteriemias you have in your unit, or how many pneumonias you have in your unit, comparing with the region and the national. I don't know if you have a... sí, aquí. Debe ser esto, ¿no? The green is the your unit, the blue is the community, and the orange is the national. And also we have indicators, indicators for the safety rounds, the learn from errors, the daily goals, or for the checklist as insertion, if you have a card for insertion, or if we're using chlorhexidine. The result of this experience after 18 month was a decrease of 50% of the bacteriemias globally, but all type of units belonging to a university hospital, a small hospital, teaching or not teaching, all the units had improvement, and that was very important. What do we learn from this program? We learned that with having a bundle, a specific bundle, having a safety program with ICU leaders and with an institutional commitment, we have had some improvement. So, at the same time, we observed that during the time, the first year of implementing bacteriemia project, it was a reduction in the pneumonia. But the second year, the level was the same. And we attribute that this first reduction was consequence of the safety program. Probably the promotion of the hand hygiene, promotion of the infection error, so you have to avoid, have some influence, but the influence of the safety program needed something else, and we decide that we needed a specific bundle, a specific program to prevent pneumonia. So, keeping the structure, keeping the partners, with a specific bundle, we introduced Pneumonia Zero in 2011 and for 18 months again officially. The objective was to reduce after under 9 episodes per 1,000 days, but we keep again the objective of safety, to promote safety culture in the Spanish ICUs. And to have the bundle, you have to choose what to recommend. We have two models, the American one. In the American Institute of Health Improvement, you know they were something that has nothing to do with infection, but just with the ventilation. And they have added the use of oral care with chlorhexidine. And also it was a European recommendation. But we tried, again, to adapt to our reality, and we make a task force with, I remember, we were 12 or 15 people, different characteristics of the people, and we evaluate 35 preventive measures, taking in account the efficacy, the adverse event, and the applicability. And after this, we choose 7 measures of mandatory and 3 that were especially recommended. The mandatory bundle included the use of appropriate educated and training staff, so education again, the use of strict hand hygiene, that is general for all infections, and the specific measures were the cuff level pressure over 20 centimeters of water, the oral care with chlorhexidine, to avoid the zero position. We not decide to say 33 degrees, 40, but we know that 0 degrees is bad for patients. But to say you have to be in this, it doesn't matter. The most important is to be in a prone position. The incorporation of programs, protocols to shorten the sedation and the winning protocols, and no implementing ventilatory circuit change because it's not useful. And the specific measures highly recommended, and here is one that, if you look at the literature in the last years, is the most, the measure with more strong recommendation and in the critical infectious disease of January, I think. It was, again, an analysis of the preventive measures. The only one with impact on mortality is selective digestive decontamination. But we know how difficult it is to recommend this because there are believers and not believers. There are also technical problems, the preparation. It's not a company doing this, so it's more difficult to implement with it. There is not a company behind this. And also we can have problems with the lab of microbiology because you need controls. Another measure with less evidence is the drainage of subglottic secretion. And we recommended there are two very good Spanish papers of the use of antibiotics in patients with decreased level of conscience, two doses of systemic antibiotics, but this was not mandatory. It was just highly recommended. Again, we did education technically, and here the nurses had a very relevant role choosing how to show, how to teach, how to manage the airways, what to do and what not. And we introduced new indicators, like how many sessions every month are you doing for pneumonia zero, to introduce, to see how it is going. Also the use of chlorhexidine, the oral chlorhexidine, and the control of the calf. And in the 18 months that is submitted, but not yet published, the result was very, very good, even better than with the bacteriemia. That is the global reduction, and you can see that is quite important. And if you see, this happened during the Visita project, that was the specific pneumonia project, but after the conclusion of the official program, still the rates are decreasing. And the same happened with the number of ICU participating, that is for the number of ICU giving information for bacteriemia, and you can see that, well, they are here is the official time that we are doing the official MBIN project. So there are some units that are not participating the whole year, just in from April to June, and here we have more units, but the rest of the year is quite good. And with bacteriemia happened the same that with pneumonia. That was the official results, the 18 months, but you see that that is just the bacteriemia with origin in catheter. We are keeping the results. So you can maintain the results if it is introduced in the ICUs. And one thing that we did from the beginning, trying to catch the managers, was to estimate the economical impact, also the economical the impact on life saved, but with the especially with the money, just to obtain that the managers promoted the program in the hospital, and with we did this with bacteriemia and with pneumonia, and you can see that the gains are very important, and especially if you look at the investment was so low, well, it's so good. And you can say, well, the Americans, they say they don't have infections, but they use a lot of antibiotics. Perhaps you are doing the same. No, and that can be true. But in our surveillance network, we control the number of antibiotics and the type of antibiotics we are using for many years. We have this data. ICU Spanish doctors are... they were very hard with the surveillance, and well, because they feel is useful, and they receive a lot of information that they can apply in the practice. And you can see, we started the program of bacteriemia in 2009, and the program of pneumonia in 2011. And that's are the number of patients that we control every year, and the days of stay. That is the age of the patients, and well, we have a slightly older patients and with the same severity score. And you can see that significantly patients with any type of infections acquired in the ICU significantly decreased from 2009 when started the program till 91% of the patients admitted, and they were 15%. But also the number of antibiotics for ICU acquired infections decreased, that is proportion of the antibiotics used in the ICU for community, for hospital acquired infection, and for the ICU acquired infection, and that was significantly. And that what is most important, because as our patients had less ICU infections, the length of stay was a little bit shorter, and we admitted more patients for community with infections or for the wards. And the number of days with antibiotics for 100 days of stay also significantly decreased, and the number of the days without antibiotics slightly increased. That means that the results of the decreasing of bacteremias and pneumonias is true, because the number of antibiotics is something that you cannot hide. We had problems with the programs. It was not so easy. We had problems with definitions, although we were working in the surveillance for 20 years, but there were some new units joining us, and well, we had to do workshops and training. We had problems, especially with the program of patient safety, with the manager involvement. We have problems because some people doesn't increase or they put the data very, very, very late. Some people was very reluctant with the program, and that's very important. At the beginning, what this was money, this money didn't reach the ICUs. It was in the Ministry of Health of the regions, and they dedicate this money that was coming from the center in all the places, in all Spain, not in one community, in all. And with the economical crisis, in this moment, we are funding the ministry because we are paying for the with private money for the to keep the program, to keep the maintenance of the web, etc. And with the safety program, we have many barriers, because for the daily goals, we have difficulties to find which was the useful model. It was not the same for on ICU with many post-operative patients or with trauma patients, of medical patients, you had to adapt. But many people didn't believe in the effectiveness of the daily goals, or they have no time to meet nurses and physicians. Safety runs were the worst. The executive didn't collaborate at all in 90% of the hospitals. And also we have difficulties to find the model. And for the learning from the error sessions, well, there was the fear of the punishment, and the people was feeling guilty, and that is difficult to work. It's still, and well, the barriers to do the checklist is and the daily goals is clear. Some people didn't accept. Others say it's boring, or I am too busy and I cannot do, and I am an artist and nobody is going to tell me what I had to do. And another difficult question is the teamwork, because to find the model of collaboration between physicians and nurses is not so easy. For nurses, the good teamwork means I am asked for my input, but for the physicians, is the nurse does what I say. And well, perhaps we had to change our mind. And these difficulties, you can see, were reflected in the indicators, in the safety indicators, because we had very good accomplishment of the technical indicators, but very bad for the daily goals, the checklist, the sessions, the safety rounds. So that is something to work now still. But we have promoters that allowed us to get these results. And the first one is a consolidated surveillance network. The Envin group was very useful for to implement these programs. And also the leadership in all the levels, national and local. And we have now an analysis that is going to be published. It is done for the people of the WHO about the success of the bacteremia zero program, and the leadership was the crucial. It was the most important to get in each hospital good results. It was important the institutional support from the Ministry of Health and from health regions. To have the real-time feedback is very good. because you can see what is happening with you and the others, and the meetings we did, the workshops and others. And for the implementation of the Pneumonia Zero, it was very good, the success of Bacteremia Zero, because we increased on more than 50 units after the results of the Bacteremia Zero, and everybody wanted to be good as the others. So benchmarking is good, because nobody likes to be ugly in the picture. And the key elements for success, as summarized, is the leadership, the commitment, the education, the good implementation, the evaluation, and the feedback. And now we are in a new project against resistance that is the more difficult of all. We are in the middle of this program, and I can tell you, because it's not only depending on the ICU, but it's depending on the lab and depending on other people, and very, very difficult. But you can succeed. And the first step is to consider that infections, ICU acquired infections, are avoidable errors. And to eradicate, we have to consider this like an error. And we need surveillance to quantify and monitor the prevention intervention. And in our experience, Bacteremia Pneumonia Zero have promoted a culture of safety, including the training, the teamwork, the implementation of guidelines and bundles, and this can reduce the risk. And the last is the education analysis and dissemination of conclusions and agreements requires not only technical resource, but also financial. And we not always can find this economical support for our authorities. Thank you very much for your attention.